Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
From the lakefront to the riverfront, this is where Wisconsin sports fans come to talk. The Bill Michaels Show. Now, here's your host, Bill Michaels.
And welcome back to Bill Michaels Show. On the air, Kevin Holden from CBS 58 in Milwaukee. Yesterday and today, filling in for Bill. Really appreciate everybody listening along the Bill Michaels Sports Talk Network. Appreciate Radio Joe and the staff here for letting me sit in for a couple of days. 855-830-8648. Give us a call and talk a little bit of Packers. What do you feel about these Minnesota Vikings? Are you more scared of them than the Bears? I suppose it's a little bit of hindsight 2020 since the Packers just beat the Bears. But having seen Minnesota, how do you feel about that team? More scared of them than you are the Bears. 855-830-8648. By the way, if you're listening on our flagship station, 105.7 FM, The Fan in Milwaukee, special treat for you later in the day. David Bakhtiari, left tackle of the Green Bay Packers, will be joining the folks on the big show. That's at 4:35 this afternoon. So don't miss that. David Bakhtiari's season debut on the big show, 4:35 this afternoon. If you have not heard Bakhtiari on the radio or in any sort of interview, he is a straight shooter. He is the definition of a straight shooter. He reminds me a lot of what Josh Sitton was a few years ago. Just the kind of guy that if you asked a question, you'd get an answer. You know, I know that sounds unusual, but in the world of athletes and interviews, and you know, there's a lot of considerations that, you know, you're talking about speaking to the media and stuff that can get back to teammates, that can get back to opponents, that kind of thing. There are a lot of folks who are very censored in their answers. I don't think David Bakhtiari falls into that category. So be sure to catch him 4:35 this afternoon on the flagship station, 105.7 FM, The Fan in Milwaukee. He'll be on the big show. Got a couple of Twitter responses to this question about the Vikings. Tyler says they, the Vikings, beat a Falcons team that will be lucky to win 7 games this year, and Kirk Cousins is notoriously bad against any mediocre at worst defense. So no, I'm not, Tyler says. He is not more scared of the Vikings than the Bears. There's also Big Dog, a Twitter user, who says nope and has a GIF. You call it a GIF, right? It's not a GIF. It's a GIF. You call it a GIF or a GIF?
I've heard it both ways. I don't even know anymore.
I say GIF. You know, who knows?
I say GIF.
You do? You say GIF?
Potato, like, potato.
Like the peanut butter?
Yeah.
So there's a GIF and or GIF of Kenny Clark pounding his chest. So there you go. That is the thought at this moment on Twitter, is that folks, for the most part, are not. Nick says, strong divisional opponent. Of course we should fear them? Question mark. Mark says, we just need to get into an offensive rhythm. The Packers do. Running game will be a challenge with the Vikings front four. I think the big factors in this game, creating turnovers defensively, offense winning third downs and moving and fewer to no penalties. Yeah, and that is an absolute necessity. You've got to stay away from the penalties, and you got to keep the offense moving. Because remember, the Bears' defense is really, really good, but the Packers essentially mounted a touchdown drive on that long pass to MVS leading to the touchdown to Jimmy Graham. That's a drive. That's a success. And then there was a field goal, and then there was nothing else. And if you take the two scoring drives out, they went 66 total yards on all the other drives put together. So moving the ball is going to be big. Hopefully they can do that a little better against the Vikings. There is that benefit, of course, playing at home in front of the home fans, home atmosphere, sleep at home, all of that stuff. That will be a benefit for the Packers this week against the Vikings. But remember this. The last time the Packers started 2-0 with those two wins coming against division foes was Aaron Rodgers' first year as a starter. There's a stat for you. 2008, the last time that happened. The last 2-0 start was 2015, but the last time it was 2-0, and those were both division wins. was 2008. So that's something that the Packers have not done in a while and is significant, not just because of the 2-0 start, but because of the division advantage. Think about that. You beat the Bears and you beat the Vikings to start the year. Now you're talking tiebreak edges over your two biggest opponents in the division. No offense, Lions, but can't be talking about you as a division, you know, contender until you stop tying the Arizona Cardinals. Just saying. Anyway, give us a call, 855-830-8648.
Let's go to John in Oak Creek. John, you're on the Bill Michaels Show.
Hey, fellas. Hey, doing a great job, Kevin.
Thank you.
Sure. Yeah, I tell you, the Vikings, I watched their game last week, and they look really good this year so far. Their defense looks as good as always. And now that they got Dalvin Cook, boy, they look really good on offense. So definitely the Vikings are going to be another great challenge for the Packers. And I tell you what, I would like to see Green Bay do is if they could acquire Melvin Gordon, make a deal with the Chargers and get him on our offense, because I like our defense a lot. Our defense is awesome this year. But if we can get Melvin Gordon added to that team and make a trade, and that would be great. I think that's exactly what we could use on offense, is a Melvin Gordon in the backfield with Aaron Rodgers.
Man, could you imagine? What a combination. Appreciate the call. That's to bring a Kenosha guy home, too, that's a local guy, and I know there's a clamoring here to have guys that are local products who have gone on to success and have them play here. Of course, there is nothing wrong with wanting that type of player to play for your team. Melvin Gordon would be a tremendous addition. Aaron Jones is a very good running back with great potential, and I think a lot of folks in Packers Nation are excited about what he can do. But Melvin Gordon is that's a difference maker right there.
Yeah, but they want a first-round pick for him.
That's a lot.
Do you really want to give up a one for essentially, hopefully, 15 games, if that, out of Melvin Gordon? We don't even know if he's fully ready to play.
And it may be a few weeks. He's got to learn a different system. You know, that he wouldn't be up to speed probably till it might be after the fourth week. Because remember, the schedule goes Vikings and then two more games in the 11 days that follow.
Correct.
Broncos and then Eagles like right away, Sunday, Thursday. So that's tough.
I don't – honestly, I'm going to just pass on Melvin Gordon. I mean, we've talked about this a lot. Melvin Gordon, as talented as he is, I'm just not willing to sit here and give up a first-round pick for him when you're probably only going to have him for a year, and then he's going to want to get paid again. And the Packers aren't going to spend big-time money on a running back. I just – especially in this day and age in the NFL, you know, it's going to take a lot if you really want to hand out money to, like, Ezekiel Elliott, for example, or Todd Gurley. I mean, there's only so many prime running backs that teams are willing to take that gamble and put in big money on. I don't think the Packers can do that, especially with all the money they put towards Aaron Rodgers and that contract.
Jeff says via Twitter, depending on how the Packers defend the run, I'm looking forward to Kirk Cousins against the Green Bay secondary, a hated division opponent in the home opener. With it being Packers Alumni Day and the ceremony honoring Bart Starr, Packers win by 10. And we do have to remember that this does carry extra significance this weekend. And again, alumni being in town, they don't play for the Packers, but it is a big weekend and an emotional kind of weekend, right? It's a little different. I mean, there's a picture. I'm looking across at your board here, Joe, and there's a picture over there of Favre, Starr, and Aaron Rodgers together, that iconic picture that was taken a few years ago of the three legendary Packers quarterbacks. So the presence is felt when alumni are in town, when former Packers are in town, and they're going to honor that guy in the middle, Bart Starr, with a ceremony over the weekend. There's something going on Friday night inside the Lambeau Field Atrium, a green and gold gala where the Starr family is involved. There's an event at Rawhide on Saturday, a celebration of Bart Starr's life. Sunday, the game at Lambeau, where they will honor Bart Starr. This is, as if it needed to be any bigger, this is going to be bigger this weekend, just for Packers Nation, for the fans, for the franchise, the tradition, the history. This will come to play this weekend.
Let's go to Ty in Philadelphia. Ty, you're up on the Bill Michaels Show.
Hey, guys. What's going on?
How you doing, Ty?
Hey, this game against Minnesota, I like the Packers' chances in this game. Last year, they pretty much handled them in week two at Lambeau. Took the refs to, you know, even allow Minnesota to get a tie. But, I do have a lot of respect for Minnesota's team. I think they are built pretty well. But I think the Packers defense is built to actually be able to defend them. I like the Packers front against Cook. They're pretty much an outside zone team, so I like the Smiths to be able to defend that. And I like, you know, their secondary to go against Thielen and Diggs as well with hopefully more of a snap count with Kevin King this week because you're going to need him against those two All-Pros or whatever like that. But I think the Packers' defense is pretty built to give Minnesota some problems at Lambeau.
It's the truth, Ty, and the Smiths have been a big difference maker. It's amazing what putting guys on either end there when you sign those free agents and give them that money. It's amazing how that upgraded this defense instantly.
Man, I love it, man. I mean, you know they're not going to run Cook at Kenny Clark. So when you add those two out there, I love it. I love it. Where is he going to go? So I think that's going to be a game for Kirk Cousins to win, and we all know how that goes.
Yeah, hadn't been a great history there. Ty, appreciate the phone call. Thanks for calling in. And Ty makes a good point. We rave about the Bears defense and the Vikings defense. How about the Packers defense? I mean, you know, it's Mitch Trubisky in week one. I get it. But if they take care of business, if they contain Dalvin Cook and shut down Kirk Cousins, which is a doable thing, the Cousins part, I think, especially, we're going to be talking about the Packers defense in that group. All of a sudden, the NFC North is going to be the AFC North. Remember when it was Cincinnati had a good defense and Pittsburgh had that great defense and Baltimore was so dominant on defense? I almost feel like it's switched to the NFC North. Bears, Vikings, Packers, all three of them with top-notch defensive units. That is going to be a fun division to play in, especially when the weather gets colder and the scores start getting lower. Ty's got me all excited now about November and December football in the NFC North. Should be fun. We've got more of the Bill Michaels Show coming up. Hearts of fire, streets of stone, modern warriors, saddle-lined horses of chrome. It's the Bill Michaels Show. Kevin Holden, CBS 58 in Milwaukee, stepping away from the day job. I'm going back to the day job today. Don't worry. Or I guess those that don't like me, then you can pout about it. But I'm going back to the day job once we're done here. Radio Joe Zenzola, appreciate everything, man. A couple of days of fun here filling in for Bill Michaels. And, I mean, he just dropped me right into just a bevy of sports stuff, right? I mean, this is a fun time of year. Packers just finished with the Bears, preparing for the Vikings, and the Brewers are 7 games over .500, Joe. 7 games over and two games behind the Cubs for the second wild card spot. That qualifies officially as a postseason chase. It's fun. Chase Anderson gets the call tonight for the Brewers in Miami. Second of 4 games there. Brewers won last night, 8-3. Trent Grisham, 5 hits in that game. Jordan Lyles, another terrific performance as a starter. We were mentioning this yesterday, Joe, that the Brewers, they don't have a lot of dominant pitchers. It's not the bullpen of last year where you have Jefferson, Knebel, and Hader, and you can throw 5-inning games and then feel great afterwards. It's not that type of team. They can hit well. It doesn't feel like it has that sort of player dominance that last year had. I mean, the record is not as good as last year, but there's a little hint of magic here, right? It's what you have to have. Trent Grisham getting 5 hits, Tyler Austin hitting a 3-run homer. These are those moments that are going to define whether a team is a postseason team or not. And if you don't have the dominance of personnel, you got to find it somewhere, right?
It just blows my mind that you're getting contributions from guys you've literally never heard of. Like, a lot of these guys that have been stepping up the last few days were not on this ball club last year. They were either in the minor leagues or they were on another baseball team. I mean, again, it's remarkable to see a guy like Trent Grisham, who, again, was a highly touted prospect, then kind of fizzled away, and then had this big resurgence. He started the season in Double-A this year for the Brewers. And now here he is having a 5-hit game last night, crucial to a game that felt a little shaky there. Miami was keeping up with the Brewers, and Grisham just goes off. That was big. You know, we saw Tyler Austin a couple days ago. No one, and I mean no one, had heard of Tyler Austin last season. I mean, did he even exist last season?
I don't think so.
And the Brewers just pick him up off the scrap heap, and look what he does. He comes through with a big hit. Tyrone Taylor's another guy. And Tyrone Taylor gets this call up just a couple of days ago. He got a job at FedEx. You see that?
No.
He
seriously?
Just got hired by FedEx. Because, again, you know, Tyrone Taylor also was once a highly touted prospect. Then the last couple of years hasn't really played all that well in the Brewers farm system, but he finally got his call, and he comes up with a key RBI against the Chicago Cubs on Sunday. He was looking for work for this offseason. These minor leaguers don't make anything. So he got hired yesterday by FedEx, so apparently he's going to be working at FedEx. I don't know if it's in the Milwaukee area or if it's somewhere else in the country, but he is going to be a FedEx guy in the offseason to make a few bucks.
Really?
Yes.
So did he have to tell them, like, was he about to start and then had to say, oh, sorry, hey, listen, I got another thing I got to do.
Yes.
Can I come see you in a few weeks?
Yeah, he did. He told them all about his situation that, oh, yeah, by the way, I am a big leaguer from time to time, so I don't know what my future holds, but is that going to be okay? And they said, yeah, that's fine. We can work around that.
You go, FedEx. That's fantastic.
But we've heard this often a lot with a lot of athletes in any sport. I mean, Kurt Warner for a time was bagging groceries.
That's right.
Before he made it big.
Yep.
I mean, a lot of these guys, got to remember, they're human beings. So if it's not going to work professionally in the sport that they're playing in, that they got to look for work like everyone else.
And it changes really fast. I mean, in the case of Tyrone Taylor, it changed on a dime. It changed quickly enough that he was ready to work. He didn't expect to come up if he was getting a job doing something else. And then here's your opportunity, right?
Right.
My wife employed during the offseason a couple of years ago a minor league pitcher that had just been signed out of indie ball. He'd been playing in single A, and his girlfriend worked at Miller Coors. That's where my wife works. So she employed him for the offseason. And, you know, the understanding was he would start September, October, whenever it was, and work through until it was time to go to spring training. And, you know, he was this single A dude that I had never heard of and has skyrocketed to the big leagues. And he's now on his second major league organization, Trevor Richards. So he went single A, then he worked for my wife, and it was high A and double A, and then straight to the big leagues the next year, last year, with the Marlins all of last year and half of this year, and then traded to the Rays at the trade deadline.
Wow.
But, I mean, I was sitting next to him at a hockey game. It was like a group outing for her work, you know, and I'm like, hey, so Greensboro, huh? You know, I don't know what to say, right? And then, boom, there he was in the big league. So it changes fast. And that's amazing for Tyrone Taylor. That blows my mind.
Well, but again, going back to, you know, these unknown dudes coming up in big ways, and, you know, whether they're pitching or they're at the plate and they're coming up with a clutch hit. I mean, again, this Brewers team has been banged up. You don't have Keston Hira in that lineup. You don't have Mike Moustakas in that lineup. Jeremy Jeffress was a huge disappointment. Travis Shaw was a huge disappointment. It does, even though this season still doesn't have that special feel to it, I still think it's crazy that the Brewers are still in the thick of things, that they've won four straight games, that they can, I'm not going to say easily, but they can literally be there at the end and have a shot to just get to that one wild card game and be right there in the NLDS again. Doesn't mean they're going to the World Series. I don't expect them to be to the World Series. I don't think this is, but again, it's baseball and anything can happen, and it's all about being hot at the right time.
They're a team, too, that if you took the talent on the roster at this moment and you said you got to play 162 games with a two-game deficit to the Cubs, you would not feel good about them over the course of 162 versus the Cubs. But over the course of 20 games, sure. Right. Over the course of 20 games, a lot can happen in baseball. If you get hot, if you get, you know, performances from guys that, you know, are stepping up and doing things, the Tyler Austins and Trent Grishams and, you know, Drew Pomeranz and these guys that, you know, in the
Ray
bullpen.
Black.
Ray Black. I mean, this is, you know, again, when you reset for the year to come, it's going to feel a little different. The offseason is a different conversation than the September conversation.
Yeah.
Right now, you want to catch lightning in a bottle. You would just like to be the hottest baseball team over the next month and change. That's all you really need, right? It isn't the best baseball team. It's the hottest baseball team.
And you have a pretty easy schedule to help that as well.
All right. You got the after the Cardinals, and it's the Padres, the Pirates, the Reds, and the Rockies. That's what's left.
And it's bizarre, too, because the Brewers had an opportunity earlier this season where after they played a couple of brutal months of tough teams, just week in, week out, they had a chance to finally separate themselves just a little bit in that division, and they couldn't. They faced so many other lesser teams that they just couldn't beat. It was crazy. And then again, after not being able to take advantage of that, then they still find a way to tread water against really good teams. And again, J.R. Ratcliffe put this out from the Journal Sentinel just yesterday, that the Brewers, ironically enough, have tiebreakers over the Cubs, the Diamondbacks, the Mets, the Phillies, and the Nationals. So if any of those teams tie with the Brewers when it comes to wild card position, the Brewers have the upper hand, considering all of that. So why can't the Brewers this time around, with an easier stretch of games, why can't they take advantage? And oh, by the way, like you said earlier, if you just kind of stay even with these other teams that you're fighting against, you're going to be able to have your wild card game at Miller Park.
Yeah, that's the key.
Which is always good.
Yeah, oh yeah, you absolutely. When you're at this moment in the season, if you get there and it's one game to decide and it's in your park, I mean, that's meaningful. Super meaningful. And again, you've eliminated already the other parts of what the Brewers need to do. It's that whole thing about NFL, this happens a lot, where if a team is about to make the playoffs or trying to, and it's like, we need to win, and this team needs to lose, and this team needs to lose, you know, that sort of thing. The multiple scenario situation. The Brewers have knocked out the multiple scenario situation already. There's not quite 3 weeks left in the season, but they've gone ahead of Arizona, Philadelphia, and the Mets, the other teams that are in contention for this. So the Brewers have to catch the Cubs. That is it. I mean, you do have to hold off the other teams, but you don't have to catch anyone else. You only have to catch the Cubs. That's pretty incredible. I mean, that's that again, there's a difference between that and, for example, if we're in New York right now and we see, well, the Mets are four games out of that second wild card spot, but you got to catch the Phillies, and then you got to catch the Diamondbacks, and then you got to catch the Brewers, and then you got to catch the Cubs. That's a lot for 3 weeks.
I think as long as this Brewers team, somehow, some way, with the guys that they have on this roster, if they can just win series, not asking for sweeps, if you can win every series from here on out, if you can take 3 out of 4 from the Marlins, mm-hmm. and then go against the Reds and Pirates and take those series, I think at the end, the Brewers will be one of those two wildcard teams.
Yeah.
As long as they, I think if they win every single series from here on out, I think they're in there for that one wildcard game, regardless of who they play, whether it's Chicago, whether it's Washington, whether it's the Mets, doesn't matter. I think the Brewers kind of control their own destiny right now. Because I don't trust Chicago. I haven't trusted Chicago now for the last couple of months. That team remains a head scratcher. Said it yesterday, they're a joke. With everything that they have in their rotation, with everything that they have in their starting lineup, how is that team not better than a second NL wildcard team? That team should be winning the division this year.
Oh, yeah.
Not the Cardinals. It should be the Cubs. So I don't really trust them. And the fact that there's only a 2-game gap, oh, and by the way, you have the tiebreaker over them, I think the Brewers kind of control their own destiny at this point, Kevin.
Just gotta win. And keep it consistent. No losing streaks for these last 3 weeks. You got to either be even or above it.
We didn't talk about this with Adam McKelvey, but have you seen the tweet that he has put out? And it's been a tweet now for the last couple of weeks, and he updates it, where the Brewers have been 5-5 in their last 10.
Yes.
10-10 in their last 20. 20-20 in their last 40. So on and so forth. The Brewers have been like 500 all the way through here now for over a month.
That's crazy.
Why not now get on a winning streak?
Right?
They're overdue for a winning streak.
That's
and
true.
This is the chance to do it.
And they've won 4 straight. The schedule is favorable, and they are reaching that point where to get win streaks, you can't have just one dude do it unless it's last September's Christian Yelich. That guy's capable of a win streak on his own. but that's generationally rare. Okay, that month was like you see that once every 20 years, right? That aside, to get a winning streak, you have to have guys do things, and that's the excitement for me is Trent Grisham, and the day before him, Tyler Austin. Like those are the things, right? Corey Spangenberg, that bunt on Friday, that squeeze bunt. Craig Council laid down a squeeze bunt. Well, he had his guy lay down a squeeze bunt.
Now imagine if you can add Mike Moustakas healthy back into this lineup. Imagine if you can add Keston Hira healthy back into this lineup. Imagine if, now I don't know how they're going to use him, but if Brandon Woodruff can get healthy.
Oh, yeah.
Whether he's in the rotation or he's coming out of the pen to get you 2 to 3 innings. Imagine having Brandon Woodruff back.
Oh, man.
I don't know how the hell is this team getting this done with the guys that they have and the guys that are hurt. Again, it blows my mind.
It's the reason why everybody was in the done club, because you looked at
right, and I don't blame them.
Yeah.
I don't blame them.
But all the players that were done, literally, the Woodruffs of the world, that was the thought process. If he comes back, you could see Council doing the bullpenning thing where his starter goes through the rotation or through the batting order once, and Woodruff throws the third, fourth, and fifth inning like a whole bunch. Right, that is a Craig Council kind of move right there. Brandon Woodruff as your, bulk reliever, as I guess you could call him, because he would be a tremendous asset. Any out he gets for this team is a huge out from this point forward. More of the Bill Michaels Show coming up. Bill Michaels Show, Kevin Holden, CBS 58 in Milwaukee, filling in for Bill the rest of the day. Today we've been talking Brewers and Packers, but let's switch it up. Badgers football 2-0. They still have not allowed a point in the 2019 season. And what a great start to the year it's been. And Evan Flood is going to help us break this down. Evan is the Wisconsin insider for 247sports.com. Evan, first of all, thanks for joining us. How nice is it for you to get a bye week here after the first 2 weeks of the season?
Yeah, I'm not sure I needed it after just 2 weeks, but I'll take what I can get.
maybe we can hang on to this for like week 7, week 8. I know for the players, they probably would want to hold off, especially after the momentum that they gained in the first 2 weeks. I've been arguing that Wisconsin, among the top teams in the country, if you just took like the top 25 poll, maybe needed a start like this better than most or more than most, just because of what happened last year and the momentum they want to establish going into Michigan and the games beyond. Would you agree that need is probably a bad word, but I think it benefits the Badgers more than it does most teams, what they've done through 2 games.
I think so, and I don't know how much you can take away from wins over South Florida and Central Michigan at this point, but regardless of who you play at this level, I think it's definitely eye-catching when you're outscoring opponents 110-0, you're dominating all three phases of the game. Now, do these 2 wins necessarily mean Wisconsin's or that's going to translate to Big Ten play? No, but this is what really good teams do to people. They dismantle them and they overwhelm them. So I think the biggest takeaway through these first 2 games is that Wisconsin's a different team from that 2018 squad that went in so highly touted, started number 4 in the country, and then sort of fell flat on their face in week 3 against BYU. This team doesn't seem to have those holes, and like you mentioned, this team seems to be playing with a certain chip on its shoulder after what happened from last year. I mean, you just look at that Central Michigan game when they're already up 30-40. That foot never came off the gas pedal. They were out there throwing. They were out there even when their second-team defense was on the field, which they actually got on the field early in the second quarter. They were flying around, not willing to give up a single yard. So I think from a confidence standpoint, they definitely needed 2 blowout wins like this and to feel better about going into that Michigan game in the Big Ten opener, a team that, really embarrassed them last year in Ann Arbor.
If we could change time and make the game this week, the fact that Michigan struggled the way they did with Army and they would have to come into Madison the week after that, do you think that would be better for the Badgers if they could face Michigan on the heels of that game against Army?
Oh, without a doubt. Now, you don't want to give Michigan, with the struggles they've had, an extra week to prepare for Wisconsin, especially with the struggles they've had at defending the run. Now, obviously, Army, a triple option team, presents different challenges than Wisconsin. But, if you're Jonathan Taylor in that offensive line, I think you're licking your chops a little bit in what Army did to them on the ground and Michigan's inability to really get off the field. I know Army didn't score a ton of points, but they're not exactly a quick strike offense. And then they held, they won the time of possession battle despite the loss. You hold the ball for 32 minutes on the road. And so if you're Wisconsin, you know you're a time of possession team. You can win games by chipping away 3, 4, or 5 yards at a time. And I think you feel like this is a good matchup for you. Unfortunately, you know, Michigan gets an extra week to correct some of the things that went wrong. You know, they've really been poor taking care of the ball and avoiding penalties. So, you know, we'll see how that extra week changes things. But, yeah, I think the Badgers missed an opportunity by not playing this game this week for sure, especially when you get them at Camp Randall in Michigan's first away game of the season, too.
You lose Nelson for the year. He played just a little bit in that opener and then, you know, made the announcement a few days ago that he's done for the year. It's obviously a loss. How big, though? Is it something that the Badgers can recover from and do so quickly with this bye week this week?
I think they can definitely recover. I like what they have behind Nelson. They got a junior in Eric Burrell who's played a ton of football, and a lot of people thought he would be a starter this season, but lost his job to the redshirt freshman Reggie Pearson. And if you remember that the Pinstripe Bowl win over Miami last season, Burrell played really well and had an interception. So he's going to be just fine in that starting spot. And they also have Colin Wilder, the Houston transfer, that's done some nice things through two games, kind of a hybrid safety, a guy that can sort of play down in the box and make tackles in traffic, but also a kid that plays center field really well. I think that's the biggest thing they're going to miss from Nelson is just the ability to read the quarterback's eyes on the back end and make plays on the football. I don't think they have a safety that's as rangy as he is, so we'll see if that, you know, hurts Wisconsin, you know, especially when you consider this is still a secondary that has a lot of question marks and hasn't been tested yet. I think they really need Nelson just from a security standpoint on the back end. But, you know, they've got depth to replace him, and it's not a crushing blow for this defense by any means.
Evan Flood, Wisconsin insider for 247sports.com. Evan, I follow your stuff, and you're paying attention to future Badgers. Badgers down the line, what do you think about what they've been doing on that on the recruiting front here of late?
Yeah, right now Wisconsin's in the top 30 in our 24/7 Sports national team recruiting rankings. Now, obviously, anybody that follows Wisconsin recruiting knows that you kind of have to take their rankings with a grain of salt because they do such a great job of developing and finding, you know, under the radar talent that, you know, the experts or other colleges don't see. But, you know, this right now is, you know, one of Wisconsin's best rated classes that they have. As usual, they've got highly touted linemen from in-state, so there's going to be more of that coming in. But they've also done a good job nationally, you know, pulling a four-star linebacker out of Hawaii who had offers from just about every Pac-12 school, getting a tight end out of Massachusetts and Cam Large, and you know, really one of the bigger recruiting battles won by Wisconsin in the Paul Christ era when you consider he had offers from Alabama, Ohio State, Georgia, Notre Dame, Michigan, and others. You know, they've got kids from Arizona, Minnesota, Colorado, Ohio. They've done a good job spreading the wealth nationally. And, you know, we'll see how things shape up over the next couple months before the early signing period. But on paper, this is one of Wisconsin's best incoming classes.
Evan Flood, our Wisconsin insider for 247sports.com. Much appreciated. Thanks for the insights, and enjoy the free Saturday this week.
Sounds good. Appreciate it.
That's Evan joining us on the Schneider Orange Hotline.
Schneider hiring drivers right now. They work hard, you work hard. They treat you fair for 80-plus years. They've been getting it done. Call them at 800-44-PRIDE or go to schneiderjobs.com.
So I find it fascinating, too, that when you're in a position like Evan's position where you're paying attention to current Badgers and future Badgers, that's an interesting split of attention, right? I mean, that's, you know, if you're an insider for a professional team, if you write for a website for the Brewers or the Bucks or the Packers, there's a lot to pay attention to. But if you're doing this for a college team, you have to make different connections and sources and friends all over the country, and it's different every single time, right? If there's a recruit that comes from, I mean, we haven't talked about the kid coming from Hawaii, right? So he's got to be talking to somebody in Hawaii to learn some information about this. Probably not a connection he's going to be talking to on a weekly basis, but you always respect the work of someone like that because they have to build this far and wide network of sources and information about the future Badgers, the Badgers recruit. So Evan Flood, we appreciate his time here on the Bill Michaels Show. So the professor, Mike Clemens, is going to update us on what's going on in Green Bay. Talk about a dude who's got some information. He's going to share it next on the show.
Green Bay Packers News Flash. In Green Bay, here's Mike Clemens.
The Packers had a brief practice yesterday as they get ready to host the Vikings. Minnesota had no problem beating the Falcons on Sunday, 28-12. The Vikings are now consulted by Gary Kubiak, former Texans and Broncos head coach, who Matt LaFleur worked for in Houston.
When you're watching the tape and you're watching Minnesota's offense, you can see a lot of similar concepts, especially they ran the ball. I mean, would they throw the ball like 10 times or whatever it was? But yeah, there's a lot of similarities between what they do and some of the stuff that we do.
The Packers are pleased on how they held the Bears offense to just 3 points. In their second year under coordinator Mike Pettine, Green Bay is doing a better job of disguising their defense. Inside linebacker Blake Martinez.
Every guy is playing different spots. There's so many moving parts that you never really know who's dropping, who's blitzing. Z's dropping on some plays, Preston's dropping on some plays, Fackrell's dropping on some plays. We got D Lyman dropping on some plays, and so it's just all over the place where sometimes they're guessing, and we know that, and we go and make plays like we did on Thursday.
And the Packers added linebacker B.J. Goodson last week, who had less than 48 hours to get ready for the game in Chicago and got some snaps on special teams.
I'm the type of guy I'm going to prepare as if I'm starting every single snap. So we were going over from the packages that I would be in there in on and if there was a emergency situation. So it was... We were kind of going over everything.
Goodson was acquired in a trade with the New York Giants, who played poorly in a 35-17 loss to the Cowboys. Goodson says he's grateful to be in Green Bay.
Man, like I was just saying, you know, it's a great culture to come into. These guys hunt, and they show it on tape. And, you know, like I was just saying, you know, I'm a hunter. So I feel like I fit in great here. The culture is awesome here. I'm excited to be here, man, and I'm grateful.
That's Packers linebacker B.J. Goodson in Green Bay. I'm Mike Clemens on the Bill Michaels Show.
Mike Clemens getting you ready for Packers-Vikings Sunday. Lambeau Field, as the Packers try to do something they haven't done since 2008. Start the season 2-0, both wins against NFC North opponents. Last 2-0 start overall, 2015. 2-0 starts great, but 2-0 against the NFC North. To start with wins against the two teams that you could conceivably end up in some sort of tiebreaker against. It's a huge start to the season. Fans in Wisconsin understand it. Do the folks at USA Today understand it? Joe points me sometimes to fun things to look at, and this one is the NFL power rankings that USA Today puts out on a weekly basis. So the Packers come up with this win over the Chicago Bears, and obviously around the league, everybody is paying attention to the Patriots and what they did against Pittsburgh, because honestly, if there's any team that looked like a Super Bowl champ in that moment, it was New England. The Chiefs putting up that 40 spot to start the season, the Vikings and what they've done. So the question is this. If you didn't know this poll, if you weren't looking at this poll, would you think the Packers would be a top 10 team in these power rankings? And the answer is no. USA Today has the Packers outside their top 10 in the NFL. Here's the breakdown. Patriots 1, of course. Chiefs 2. Vikings 3. They're very complimentary of the defense against the Falcons. And, of course, the run game. Dalvin Cook looked tremendous. That Clemens keeps saying maybe Dalvin Cook's the best running back in the NFL. I see his point. Saints at 4. Imagine what that would have been if the Saints had lost that game to the Texans, if Will Lutz hadn't hit a 58-yard field goal. Ravens at 5 after demolishing Miami. I think over time that win will be diminished. I think they're not going to be the last team to demolish Miami. Chargers at 6 without Melvin Gordon. Chargers at 6. No, not the Packers. The Chargers at 6. Cowboys at 7. The Titans went from 22-8 after destroying the Browns in Cleveland. The Rams are 9th. I think you'd expect them to be a top 10 team. Eagles 10, Packers 11. 11. Barely ahead of the Seahawks, barely ahead of the Bears, who they just beat. And then the Falcons are right behind them at 14. So I suppose you're close to a team, you follow a team, and you're going to have sometimes a distorted view of what they are. But seriously, after beating the Bears to start the season, they're not a top 10 team in your power rankings? Really? The Titans are 8, and the Eagles are 10, and the Packers are 11, and the Chargers are number 6. Just a surprise to me. And I think that if the Packers take care of business this weekend against the Vikings, clearly they go into that top 10, and then you start to talk about them in a different realm in the conversation. Because think about this. You beat the Bears on a Thursday to start the year in Chicago. You beat a Vikings team that this power rankings calls the third best team in the NFL. Now you go to 2-0. Then you face the Broncos, who just lost to the Raiders to start their season. And then you face those Eagles, who will be a tough test. But again, that is at Lambeau and a Thursday night game. Packers have already played on that stage, that national stage, in that week one game against Chicago. 2-0 could easily get you to 4-0. Don't want to start chalking up a bunch of wins before their time, but I'm just saying 2-0 makes you feel really confident that 4-0 could happen. Then I think you start to get that respect around the country. Maybe the one thing this tells you is how far things slipped at the end of the Mike McCarthy era, because the Packers used to automatically have the respect nationwide. And it hasn't been the case the last few years. You miss the playoffs in back-to-back seasons, and the perception changes. Nationwide, it changes. Even after a big win, you're not in the top 10. I think that's going to happen for them, though. They beat the Vikings. Thanks for joining us. Got another hour of the Bill Michaels Show. Don't miss it. It's coming up.
Such a clutch pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
What, you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, a Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
He shoots. He scores.
Go to Blinds.com for up to 40% off and a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Go right now for up to 40% off at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.